This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines, and it appears that the debate that was expected this week over the Democratic version of financial regulatory reform will actually take place next week, a clear sign that Democrats have some work to do in order to get the votes necessary to break a likely Republican effort at a filibuster. Republicans say that this is nothing more than a permanent bailout approach to Wall Street, saying it gives the government way too much power to step in, intervene, and save any firm that the government feels is on the brink of collapse. The Democrats say the plan is nothing of the sort. They say the idea is to end the culture of too big to fail, and they say it's high time that the government be in a position to actually regulate financial institutions that are flouting the law. But while the debate gets pushed back, the comments on the Senate floor continue, with Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says this bill is about one thing: strengthening the government side of the fight against Wall Street.
But the principle before us is really a very simple one, in spite of all these complicated issues that will be in this bill. You either believe we need to strengthen oversight of Wall Street or you don't.
But Republican leader Mitch McConnell says the goal of this legislation should not be to empower government, but the American people.
It is important for the country and the taxpayer that we get this right, that we put them before politics.
Again, expect many more legislative fireworks on this in the days ahead, particularly next week, at least at this point on the Senate floor. Two Arizona senators, John McCain and John Kyle, are now urging President Obama to deploy National Guard troops to the Arizona border with Mexico. They say the situation there is getting to the point where federal intervention with troops on the ground is necessary in order to maintain some semblance of border security. Meanwhile, the Arizona legislature is also strengthening its hand against illegals, passing what some believe to be the toughest anti-illegal immigration legislation in the country. What does it do? It declares people who are in the state illegally to be considered guilty of a crime, and therefore they can be arrested without any other cause. The critics of this legislation have called it everything from Nazi-like to Russian communist type of tactics to racial profiling. More analysis of this, if you check back in on Wednesday, you'll hear my interview with California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, a strong supporter of the recently passed law in Arizona. On to the international stage now, and flights are slowly getting back in the air as a result of the volcanic ash that is still spewing out of Iceland and drifting over the European continent. But experts now believe that it is safe to resume some flights to the air, and hopefully the bulk of the flights within the next few days. Many folks have stayed in Europe well beyond their plans. They're out of money, and virtually all alternative forms of transportation are completely clogged, including the roads and the railways. The loss in terms of commerce, not only for the airline industry, but just for the economy in general, is expected to be staggering. Further to the east, celebration in Israel, 62 years since the formation of the modern Israeli state. However, that celebration comes tempered by worsening relations with the United States, as well as the ongoing specter of a soon-to-be nuclear-armed Iran. Head to worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org today to catch my interviews with two experts on this subject. One of them is South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson, a member of both the House Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees. He says when it comes to the threat posed by Iran, Israel has been a leader and the U.S. has not.
Well, I'm concerned because I have a great deal of admiration for Bibi Netanyahu. He is a person of vision himself. He understands that the best way to preserve peace in the region is through strength. Sadly, we have an administration that I think is projecting weakness. I think it's giving unintended comfort to the theocracy that's ruling in Tehran.
Congressman Wilson believes the key to making sure Iran never is in possession of nuclear weapons is to encourage, embolden, and in any way possible assist the growing democracy movement inside Iran, as the large younger generation there is increasingly dissatisfied with the theocratic control of the current government. Also speaking out is Clifford May, president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He says Israel is trying to figure out how to thwart a nuclear Iran on its own because it knows the U.S. won't do anything about it.
The Israelis believe that the administration in Washington is not one they can rely on, that when Obama and Hillary Clinton say nuclear Iran is unacceptable, that doesn't mean it's unacceptable. That means they'll accept it in time and then talk about containing it. But if you're not going to challenge a non-nuclear Iran, why would you challenge a nuclear Iran with its terrorist proxies in dozens of countries around the world?
A free speech issue before the Supreme Court as an 8-1 decision went against laws that were outlawing the possession or creation of videos that depicted the torture or killing of animals. They're called crush videos. For some, they're a fetish, and they get aroused by watching animals suffer and die. The ruling was 8-1 to overturn those laws, with Chief Justice John Roberts writing the majority opinion and saying the laws were too broad and restricted the freedom of expression. He says an example would be hunting videos would then be banned under some interpretations of the law, and hunting is a perfectly legal exercise. The lone dissent in this case was from Justice Sam Alito, who says that animal cruelty is a crime, and it should be a crime to create videos depicting such a thing, as well as possessing such videos. One of the major decisions from last week, of course, that drew a lot of attention was the district judge in Madison, Wisconsin, declaring the National Day of Prayer unconstitutional, because Judge Barbara Crabb says she believed it suggested that the government endorsed prayer and then made those who don't believe in prayer or don't exercise it feel like they are less than other U.S. citizens. Today I got reaction from Matt Staver, the chairman and founder of Liberty Council, who minced few words.
Well, this is frankly ridiculous. If the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional, then the Constitution is unconstitutional, which makes no sense, and that's how I feel about this particular decision. The idea that the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional is absolutely absurd. You have to be an activist judge to come to that conclusion. Certainly the Constitution nor court precedent compels that decision.
Matt Staver of Liberty Council, you can find that entire interview as well as my conversations with South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson and Cliff May of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.